And we are live. Happy Hump Day from Impact Media and all of us here at Board Check. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. It's a fun Wednesday. I can't even think of a good W word. It is a wonderful Wednesday to be in talking hockey with you guys. I don't know. People will say all the time, oh, the hockey elitists always say that every year, oh, the hockey playoffs are, oh, they're so good. They're so much better this year. No. I just say that they are fantastic this year. I don't compare them to other years. All I know is that every bit of game that I've watched has had something worth checking out. Like last night, went from one room in the house to the other room in the house. Here was the idea. You know what? The Golden Knights game was about to come on. Went ahead and flipped the TV on, thinking, go ahead and clean up a little bit. Maybe hop in the shower. When I come out, I'll watch the rest of the Golden Knights game. Well, the problem was, two other teams, Washington and Columbus, had a different thing going on. And we'll get more into the playoffs here shortly because, yes, we're going to talk some NHL playoffs, some Stanley Cup playoffs. We're going to talk some Carolina Hurricanes, but first, and also, before this playoff series started between the Florida Everblades and the Atlanta Gladiators, where the Gladiators are currently up 2-0. Today is the off day. They will start back up tomorrow night at 7:35 at the Infinite Energy Arena, and that will follow Game 4 will follow on Friday, same time there. We will be up there for that game. We had a scheduling conflict, can't make it tomorrow, but we will be there Friday. Definitely come try to find us. Come try to check us out. We want to meet you guys. We want to hear what you guys have to say. Doesn't matter what side you're on. A lot of people said, well, maybe I'm not a Gladiators fan. That's fine. Still want to meet you. Still want to talk hockey. That's the way the hockey community works, you know? We'll get a little more into that in a second as well. But happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. But anyway, what I was saying is before this series started, actually on Sunday, this series started on Monday, but on Sunday I was able to sit down and talk to the associate head coach of the Florida Everblades. His name is Tad O'Had. Really great guy. It was really fun getting to sit and talk hockey. We asked him all about just everything from Florida season, some things he's looking forward to in this series, all kinds of fantastic stuff. And that is, I don't know why you're just now kind of sending that my way, but I definitely appreciate that. But I'm going to talk some Atlanta Gladiators hockey. And then I'll play the interview with Coach O'Had. While I'm doing that, I'm going to read up on this new thing about the Stingrays potentially having a different controlling interest owner. So, well, we'll get more into that in a second. But first, let's talk about these two games because the score is very reflective of what happened in one, and the score is very not reflective in the other. First, I want to talk about the first game, game one. Unfortunately, our Gladiators lost that one 4-1. Florida came out to play. And it honestly had nothing to do. It literally had nothing to do with the score. Didn't reflect this game at all, because to say we lost 4-1 would probably mean that we technically lost 3-1 and gave up an empty netter. Well, we did give up a empty netter. However, to say that we got dominated in this game, no. This thing was as even as it could be. The only difference was a couple more of their shots went in. And I know that sounds like a cop-out answer. No. Anybody that was listening to Chris Treff's call, or if you listened to Everblade's call, or if you were at the game, this thing was very, very even. It seemed like Florida was going with a by volume, as they did double us up in shots. That's usually my strategy. Usually because this is not their case at all, because they are very highly talented. I like to shoot as many times as possible because I'm usually not very good at shooting, so it covers up the lack of talent. In this case, they sent everything, including the kitchen sink they had at Dan Vladar, who ended up, I want to get this right, he ended up with 45 total saves. 45. And yet the Bruins keep saying they need goaltenders, and this guy's sitting in the minors. I don't, you know, as much as I enjoy him here in Atlanta, Dan needs to be on a higher level because he is crushing it down here. He actually got the second star of the game in an away city during a playoff game. So congratulations, Dan Vladar, on that. But overall, only one penalty was called. Or no. There were 12 penalties called, rather. We were the only one that scored a goal during it, and our lone goal was by Alex Rotter with Taylor Stephenson and Tanner Pond all kicking in on that one. They got some players on this team, though. It's going to be a fun series, and it has been a fun series up to this point. But we lost that one. I told you we are down 2-0 now, as we lost last night's game 3-2. It was 3-1 at one point. And we were able to Ben Danford knocked one in with the help of Josh Atkinson and Lindsey Sparks. Good to get them all going. And Phil Lane and Brady Vale helped the captain, Derek Nesbitt, who had a birthday on Monday. So happy birthday, Derek Nesbitt. I told you on Monday, but it's first time on the show, and I will probably tell you again Friday. Happy birthday to him, as he got his first playoff goal of the year. Shots were dead even, 29-29. Five penalties for them, six penalties for us. Everything was about even. The only difference was they scored one more goal than we did. And Dan Vladar, once again, with 26 saves, was the third star. Yeah, they like Dan. But one thing that happened in this, I don't remember who it was, and I don't want this to reflect poorly on the Florida Everblades, because it's not their organization. I don't even blame this player. I don't blame anybody in general. This was just a mishap that happened. It's going to lead to our social media shout out here shortly. But Eric Shand, who is a great young player for the Atlanta Gladiators, kind of called an errant punch. Some people have called it a sucker punch. I'm not convinced it was that. It was as shenanigans after a whistle can happen. There was an errant punch from an Everblades player that caught Eric Shand. He immediately was knocked unconscious and he hit the ice pretty hard. He was actually carted out of the arena at that point. He, I believe, spent the night at a local Florida hospital where he has been released. He is actually back in Atlanta. Seems to be doing fine. He's been cleared. He's actually going to play tomorrow night, I believe, if the latest thing I've heard. But like I said, I don't want this to reflect on anybody. It's hockey. It's an unfortunate thing of hockey. We do have to watch the after-the-whistle stuff, but the fisticuffs and such typically happens. I mean, it sometimes happens. It doesn't always happen. And the Everblades are a class organization, as you'll find out here shortly when we talk to Associate Head Coach Tad O'Had. In no way do I hold anything against them. I don't want anybody to think I do. I don't hold anything against the Gladiators for letting it go, because they really didn't let it go. But you got to be smart about these things. And, you know, it was more about making sure that Eric Shand was okay. Turns out he was. So we were able to go from there. But, you know, overall, it's been a good series. I always enjoy Trefty's calls. And, you know, if you're not listening to them on MixLR, it's you're missing out, because if you can't be there live, listen to Chris Treff call. It makes you feel like you're right there. That's what makes him one of the best play-by-play and just overall great media people. Chris knows what he's doing. I'm glad he's getting to call some playoff games. He's going to get to call some at home, which is even better. And, you know, it is what it is at that point. But we're down 0-2. Doesn't mean we're out of it. Game 3 tomorrow night. Game 4 Friday night. Game 5, if necessary, will be Sunday night. Those are all up here in Atlanta. And then Game 6 and 7, I believe, are Tuesday, Wednesday. Something of the sort. But right now, I want to go ahead and play the interview that we did with the Florida Everblades Associate Head Coach Tad O'Had. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you guys on the other side of it, right here on Board Chat. Joining me for our very first Behind the Bench session, a new thing we're going to do here on Board Check, is the Associate Head Coach of the Florida Everblades, who will be visiting Atlanta very, very shortly as part of the Kelly Cup playoffs. That would be Tad O'Had. How are you doing, Tad?
Yeah, doing terrific. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. And, you know, I want to start right there. You know, overall, not just because you guys had the best record at 53-13, 2-4, and 112 points, which is fantastic, especially in the ECHL. But you guys won the Brabham Cup. I mean, what has that meant to the greater Estero, Florida fans?
You know what? This is our 20th anniversary, and so in particular, it meant a lot this season. Last year, we got knocked out of the playoffs by South Carolina. We had felt like we had a strong team, but we felt like we had underachieved and really left a lot on the table. And so, myself and then Brad Rolfe, our head coach, we had a long summer, really kind of deep diving, looking at a roster, looking at what we wanted to accomplish with our general manager Craig Brush. And I think we had an importance to make sure that we had a big comeback year, a strong year, with this being the 20th anniversary. And so, to be able to have the regular season that we have, it's been exciting and it's been rewarding. With that said, everything starts back at 0-0 now.
Well, and as I always tell people, the hockey mentality, whether if you're a part of this sport in any way whatsoever, it's a little different from a lot of other sports. From your take, besides being bounced from them by the playoffs, do you take it as when South Carolina defeated you guys then became fan of theirs because they ended up winning it all, or because they beat you, you wanted them out next?
No, I would say, you know, especially in the South, you know, in particular South Carolina, we've got a pretty heated rivalry with. And so, although I can wish, you know, their coach and staff and their players all the best, ultimately we were disappointed that, you know, we weren't able to get through that second round. And so at the end of the day, you know, you're really more just disappointed that you didn't go on to the next round.
Yeah, see, I agree with that. I have to explain that to friends of mine in all different sports spectrum. I was like, in hockey, I don't cheer for you because you beat me. I'm more disappointed that I didn't make it. You know, you brought up the head coach, Brad Rolfe, who is the this year's ECHL Coach of the Year. What's it been like working with Brad?
You know what? It's been outstanding. I've learned a lot. You know, he and I have been working together now the past 2 years. You know, he was coming from the Western Hockey League, so he's been able to share his experiences with me there. I've learned a lot from Brad. You know, we throw a lot of stuff off of one another. Both he and I are very passionate and competitive people. I've been very lucky. Both of the coaches I've worked with, Brad Rolfe as well as Greg Poss, who is over in Austria right now with Red Bull, both have had very successful coaching careers. And so I'm very fortunate to be continuing to learn and matriculate from both of the coaches.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Those are two great coaches to work under.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate, you know, both of them, and you know, for Brad to be named Coach of the Year, incredibly deserving. He's done a great job with this group the past 2 years, and I couldn't be more pleased and happy for him when he was awarded that.
Well, and I want to hit a little bit on what you did before you got to the Everblades. What did you do with Athletic Republic and Blue Streak Sports?
Yeah, so when I was finishing up playing my college hockey at Connecticut College, I started a sports training facility. And in particular, I was training a lot of professional hockey players, college hockey players, junior players. We work with them on the ice in skill development capacity as well as off the ice in strength and conditioning, nutrition, and just overall performance training. And so that really gave me a great understanding of the hockey players and the athletes and what they needed to do. I did that actually for about 5 years and was able to help, you know, about 500 players, you know, continue to matriculate on, whether it be junior hockey, college hockey, or the professional ranks. It also gave me a great insight into players today that I'm coaching. A lot of the young kids that I was coaching when they were 14 and 15 years old are now playing professional hockey, some of whom have played for me with the Everblades. So that was a really rewarding opportunity to work with them.
And then, of course, you know, your knowledge of that, you can parlay that into coaching in professional hockey. And I mean, you know, and you can tell, I'm not saying that it was, you know, bad last year, because obviously the Everblades still had a great season, but the conditioning of these guys, you can tell that you guys are, it's almost like you guys could play two straight back-to-back games, where a lot of people are getting tired towards the end of that first game.
You know, I think it's an area that we've really focused on. You know, the facilities that we have at Germain Arena, and then the ability to make sure that, you know, we've got a training center, Athletic Republic, at Germain Arena, but the off-ice training that they're getting, the on-ice training through the practices, we've really tried to provide our players what we believe is, you know, one of the great, you know, ECHL opportunities for our guys. And we believe that all that we're putting into them are only going to help them not only have the strongest team possible, but to matriculate up to the AHL.
And then, as we're talking with the associate head coach of the Florida Everblades here on Behind the Bench as part of Board Check, Tad O'Had, you know, you look at this season for the Everblades, and like I said, you had the best record, 112 points. It's the 20th anniversary year. You've got the now reigning coach of the year. You won the Brabham Cup. All these things are really going. The Southern Division champions. The only thing really left is that cup there at the end. But standing in your way, at least in the first round, are the Atlanta Gladiators. You played the Gladiators a lot this year. Kind of what do you see from the other bench about this team?
Well, I mean, this is a very strong team, and this is a team that no one should take lightly. I mean, first of all, from the beginning, opening night, when we played them here in Estero, they've got 13 changes to the roster. And so they've continued to modify and, you know, continue to add to the roster all year long, getting some players sent back down to them this week from the American Hockey League. You know, both the head coach and assistant coach there have done a remarkable job. They've had success in years past. And so this is a team we can't take lightly. They're hardworking. They're defensively, they're very well coached. They compete hard on pucks. You know, we were going through the lineup the other day. This is a strong Atlanta lineup. This may be as strong as an Atlanta lineup that we've seen all year. And so it's great that we had a successful regular season. But with that said, the message to the guys is clear. Everything is 0-0. We're back to even. And it's the first team to four wins.
Absolutely. And talking with some of the Gladiators at the end of the season, they believe the same thing. It's that playoff mentality. Once you make it to the playoffs, everybody has a 0-0 record and all bets are off. It's wide open now.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, with every team, the regular season is basically to earn the opportunity, to earn the right to compete for the Kelly Cup. And so Atlanta and ourselves, we all did the same thing. We were able to earn the opportunity to now compete for the Kelly Cup. And that's the mindset that we need to have. We can't get too far ahead of ourselves. We don't want to think about second round or third round. We need to be thinking about Atlanta in particular. We need to be thinking about, you know, them tomorrow night, Monday.
Exactly. And as you said, since I totally forgot to mention that at the beginning, we are recording this on Sunday. So when this airs on our Wednesday show, just so nobody's confused at this point, game one and game two have not happened by the time we are talking right now. So I don't want those angry tweets and messages. But as we finish up here with the associate head coach of the Florida Everblades, Tad O'Hara, like you said, game one and game two. Game one will be tomorrow night as we record this, and game two on Tuesday, both of them 7:30. What are, you know, obviously I'm not going to ask your absolute strategy, but, you know, what are the things that the Everblades are going to need to do to get a fast start in this series?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, we need to stick to our game plan. So we need to be a disciplined team. We need to make sure that we're generating and playing with speed. And then we need to be very defensively minded. I believe that if we can stick to our game plan, stay out of the penalty box, and play with pace, we'll have success.
I would definitely agree with that. I think that's a sound strategy for any team. And obviously game three, four, and five would be up here in Atlanta, five if necessary. That would be Thursday and Friday and then Sunday. We will actually be out Friday. We are actually over near your bench, so we will definitely try to catch you guys pregame or in between and at least say hello. But Coach O'Had, it has been great having you on. We wish you guys all the success and good luck in the playoffs.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being on.
And of course, that was the great associate head coach of the Florida Everblades, Tad O'Had. That guy's really cool. We talked a little before and after that segment. Great guy. As you heard on there, my ticket for Friday night is to the right of their tunnel and bench. So you can find me over there. It's an easy way to get some swag. Remember, if you see me out at an event that we are covering, if you take a selfie with any of us here, tag us on social media. We will get some swag sent your way, maybe some Voracek shirts. The Impact Media shirt will be out shortly. Or, I don't know, maybe we'll buy you some nachos. Who knows? But fantastic guy. Glad I got the chance to talk with him. And we'll look forward to seeing how things go. Before I get into some hurricane news, not much really. We're just going to kind of recap the season to a point. The social media shout-out, as I said, is Eric Shands. He is at Shands_92. Glad you are doing better, Eric. I'm glad you're back up here in the Atlanta area, back at the Infinite Energy Arena. And once again, just glad you're okay. But at Shands_92, I believe he will be in the lineup tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. You guys should be looking forward to it. Let me talk some Canes, and then, no, I did not forget about the South Carolina story, but I will talk about Canes for a minute. Basically, the Hurricanes, even though, is this 9 straight years without being in the playoffs? That sucks. 10th best team in the 9th or 10th best team in the East, had 83 points. It was good for a 36-35-11. We were 500. We know that. We did end on a high note by winning our last. But, you know, overall, a lot of people thought it was a disappointment. I still got to go. This will kind of be my end of the year hurricane stuff here. You know, I can't call it a failure. Yeah, if you're saying because we didn't make the playoffs, I get it. But when you tell me, if I told you that Sebastian Aho emerged and scored 29 goals, 36 assists for 65 total points, I don't call that a failure. Teuvo Teravainen, one of my favorites, 23-41, 64 total points. Nope, not a failure there. Justin Williams, with his 35 assists, 51 total points. Jeff Skinner, 24-25 for 49 total. Jordan Stahl, Lindholm, Ryan, Noah Hannafin with adds 22 assists. Victor Rask, Justin Falk, McGinn, Van Riemsdyk, DiGiuseppe. Promise I'm trying not to mispronounce your name, but I'm probably doing it anyway. So, but everybody we brought up, I mean, yeah. Did things kind of go sour for a little bit when Scott Darling was trying to find his feet? Sure. But he ended up with 13 total wins. I don't have a problem with that. Cam Ward came in good spot duty. He ended up with 23. I don't have a problem with that either. If I told you that they combined for almost 2,300 total saves. In fact, Cam had two shutouts. And there's so much young talent between the Checkers, good luck to them in the playoffs. The Everblades, good luck to them to a point. Well, you know why I'm saying this. There's so much young talent in the pipeline. There's so much young talent on this team now. The team got to go take batting practices at the Durham Bulls place. That's something I want to do. Sure, you guys want to do it too. Why would you not want to try to hit the friggin' bull? You want a steak? But yeah, I don't. In no way do I call this a failure, unless you're just saying, hey, didn't make the playoffs. But that's going to change. We're going to see some new people in here. We're gonna see some old faces as well. And by old faces, I mean even Noah Hannafin's of the world. Jeff Skinner's not old, you know. A lot of young talent. I really like where this team can go. So, overall, closing up on Carolina for the year. Out of 10, I would say it's a 7 out of 10. It's a soft 7 because not making the playoffs, sure. But, yeah. I don't call it one at all. Definitely don't call it one at all. I told you guys before the break that there was something I was going to read up on that involved the South Carolina Stingrays, and that is that the ECHL Board of Governors approved the transfer of controlling interest, basically from one majority owner to one minority owner. It basically flips those. Here's what basically happened. On Tuesday, the league's Board of Governors approved the transfer of controlling interest in the South Carolina Stingrays from South Carolina Stingrays Incorporated, which is controlled by the Zucker family, to Deke Hockey Holdings, LLC, which is controlled by Todd Halloran. So Todd Halloran is now your official majority owner. He has controlling interest in it, and I look forward to maybe having him on to talk about this because, you know, the Gladiators – get a new controlling owner. The Stingrays do. Might want to see how things are going. But I'm sure he's going to do well. Todd Halloran sounds very familiar to me. I don't know why I cannot place him, but I'm going to do some more research. And by next week, who knows, maybe we even have Todd on. But I did want to throw that out there. And obviously now we're going to get into some Stanley Cup Finals. And I'm gonna just do them as I have them listed out here. As of right now, and yes, I have been watching as much of these as possible. I have gotten my youngest nephews and niece into watching hockey a little bit. I can keep their attention for a little while, but it's been nice. They haven't really picked a team yet, so we're gonna see how that goes. I've given them some good direction. But overall, you know, I pick my teams. You guys picked your teams, hopefully, so I'm going to let them pick theirs. I'm going to start with the Tampa Bay and the New Jersey series. Tampa Bay out to a thundering lead in the first game. They won that one 5-2. Basically, it is dominated. I mean, they they're the top seed for a reason. They're one of the favorites, them and the Penguins. We'll get to the Penguins in a minute, who are actually on currently, if you're watching on NBC Sports Network locally. Game 2, Tampa Bay pretty much did the same thing. The game was about 70-30 Tampa Bay. But when New Jersey did have chances, they were very solid chances. They were trying to make the most of their chances. They didn't create enough opportunities, so they lost that one 5-3. And then just Monday night, the Devils were able to take some of those chances. Oddly enough, they lose both at home, then they turn around and win on the road. Is that not weird? But they ended up winning that one 5-2. Just a fantastic overall effort. They loaded up their attack was the main thing that they did there. And once they loaded up the attack, it was it all did quite well. It's 2-1 series on that one. Game 4 is tonight at 7:30. It just kicked off. The Bruins and Maple Leafs. This is another one where the favorite gets out to a big lead and then lets the other team back in. So we will see how that goes. Boston dominated the first game, 5-1 in that one. They just dominated. That's just took every chance, capitalized. Game number 2. A little bit of the same. Toronto got back in it a little bit, but 7-3, they were just never really in it. This was also a huge game because Pasternak for Boston had not only a hat trick in goals, but he had one assist as well for 6 total points. That kid's only like 24. That was an exceptional game. And then Toronto wakes up and decides they want to win game 3. 4-2 on that one, so it is now 2-1 in that series. This has been one of the most physical series. These are two old school original teams, and they are reminding everybody that hockey can be a very physical, brutal game. It's next game on that one is tomorrow night at 7 on NBCSN and a lot of other fun places. Leads me up to the Capitals and the Blue Jackets. The Capitals being the number 1 seed. I think if we could reseed, we might flip them on this one. All 3 of these games have been to at least 1 overtime. This is the one that I told you that I thought I was going to sit down and watch part of the Golden Knights, and instead I ended up catching, because I was watching a different game up to this point, and I ended up catching most of the first overtime and the entire second overtime. But in game 1, Columbus with just a stunner snipe shot for the overtime victory win 4-3 in that one. This game was a lot more even. If anything, Columbus held more of an advantage, and then they were able to get the game winner there. Similar in game 2, 5-4 in overtime. Same basic thing there. And then in game 3, this game, at some point during the first overtime, it felt like Washington didn't realize we're down 2-0 in a series. And then by the second overtime, they realized, guys, we have to win. So they did. It was a great overtime shot that gave them the 3-2 victory in the second overtime. They just they looked like they could play for another hour and a half. These two teams were just ready to go. So the Blue Jackets do lead that series 2-1 currently. Game 4 is going to be tomorrow night at 7:30 on the USA Network here locally. That'll be a lot of fun. We're going to have to set up multiple TVs down here because there's just not enough TVs for everything we're trying to watch. That being said, this leads us to the Penguins and the Flyers. Now, the Penguins and the Flyers, this has been another old school. They're cross-state rivals. Although this has been an odd series, there's been 3 blowouts. Pittsburgh went 7-0 with 7 different people scoring in game 1. Philadelphia went, we can do that too. They won 5-1 in the second game. And it's literally, Pittsburgh dominated the first game. Philadelphia dominated the second game. We go to the third game. Pittsburgh remembers, oh, wait, we have Crosby, Malkin, and about 15 other people that are all-stars. Not that Philadelphia doesn't have the talent, it's just they got caught on their heels and lost this one 5-1. The Penguins do lead the series 2-1. Game 4 is currently on NBCSN right now. I believe it is still 0-0 from what I can see. It's another fun series. Now, let's move out of the West, where the Predators-Avalanche series. Predators won Game 1, obviously, where domination is the word of the day. They absolutely dominated the Avalanche in the first game, won that one 5-2. They started to dominate Game 2, and then Colorado kind of almost caught them flat-footed, but ultimately the Predators won that one 5-4, so they're up 2-0. And then Colorado put a 5-spot on the board in Game 3 to make it a 2-1 Predators lead. Overall, they won that one 5-3. Game 4 is tonight at 10 on NBCSN. It will follow the game currently on. Yeah, we know these Predators. We've been talking about them most of the year. What do these Predators need to do? They need to play Predators hockey. They don't have a Crosby or a Malkin, but they do that on purpose. They don't have the one or two dominant guys because everybody gets involved. And you got to get everybody involved because Pekka is going to keep you close each and every time he's out there. Moving on to the Jets and the Wild. You would think this would be a lot closer than it is with a 2-3 seed. It's not close. I would honestly say, if not for the Predators being as dominant as they are, that the Jets have actually dominated the Wild pretty much the whole time. They win 3-2 in what was a pretty good barn burner of Game 1. In Game 2, the 4-1 victory, they absolutely just crushed the spirit of the Wild. Minnesota then remembered that they were a pretty good team, 6-2 in Game 3. And then Winnipeg got an early lead and sat on it, won 2-0 in Game 4. They actually lead the series 3-1 right now. Game 5 will be Friday in Winnipeg, 7:30 Eastern start on USA. Of course, we will be at the same time as the Gladiators game, so we will be trying to keep an eye on that while we are there. Who knows? Some intermission reports for the Gladiators may include some score updates, so we'll see how that goes. I want to come back to that one. And kudos to the Sharks, who not only is a 3 seed, are absolutely crushing the Ducks. It is duck hunt season. They have some great graphics, but the Sharks have the best pregame laser light show projection, whatever you want to call it, they do on the ice. It's the best in sports. I don't know anybody else who does a pregame like the Sharks. It's unbelievable. Our own Cody Elias was at the game, and he did some live videos via Instagram. My goodness, it's Walt Disney is rolling in his grave wondering why he didn't come up with this. This is insanely good. What else is insanely good? Glad you asked. How about the fact the Sharks with a 3-0 victory in Game 1, 3-2 in Game 2, as the Ducks remembered, they're a pretty good team. And then 8-1 last night with Logan Couture leading the charge. Sharks are now up 3-0 in this series. Game 4 is tonight at 10:30 on the Golf Channel. Well, that's going to be fun. I'm going to have to find that one. I have to catch some of that as well. That's going to be fantastic. But they can basically clinch tonight at 10:30 on the Golf Channel, and they just might do it. I'm going to go ahead and say 4-1 victory for the Sharks. And then without being done, the only people to clinch, and it happens to be their first year in the league. I think this is a record. I don't think anybody else has done anything like this. The Vegas Golden Knights, who have crushed the Kings. They have dethroned them. They have overthrown them. They have annihilated the kingdom. It's, just honestly, whatever you want to call it there. 1-0 in Game 1. 2-1 in 2 overtime thriller for Game 2. Game 3, 3-2. These have been pretty close because the Kings are built to combat what the Golden Knights do well. The problem is they couldn't do it quite enough. And then game four. Second shutout of the game, of the playoffs and of the first round for Marc-Andre Fleury. I know that Noah Shamley is very excited about that. Shout out, Noah. Keep doing what you're doing. He's a great young goaltender, as I like to say. But how about that the only goal scored that eliminates the Kings was by Braden McNabb? Yeah, Kings fans, you should know Braden McNabb. He was on your team until he was drafted by the Golden Knights in the expansion draft. So, ouch. That is brutal. But the Golden Knights will face the winner of the Anaheim-San Jose series. I'm pretty sure it's going to be San Jose, which will set up some maybe some fun, interesting bets between myself and Shark supporter Cody Elias, as I said. Cody, if you're listening, and we know you are, we may be setting up some stuff there. But that pretty much sums up everything going on with the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think there was one more thing I wanted to tell you guys. Oh, for all you guys here, we're talking about the collision between Claude Giroux and Chris Letang, where Giroux was kind of skating backwards and hit Letang, and as they kind of run into each other and knock Letang out. It was a scary collision, sure, but in no way whatsoever should you think anything malicious was behind that or anything of the sort. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us. Shout out to Coach O'Had of the Florida Everblades. We will see you Friday night. Hopefully it's not the deciding game from a Gladiators perspective, but either way, it'll be good to see you in person and say hello. Shout out to our social media. Shout out at Shans_92, Eric Shan. Good to see you up and back into form. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for tuning in to Boardcheck. We will see you guys next week. Go Gladiators. Go Predators. Go Hurricanes. Go watch hockey.
missed it by that much.